Thank you, Jennifer. You know, for no other reason, I believe that you were here for the time, this time in the life of our church to sing that song. I really appreciate that very much. I almost feel like we should be going a different direction this morning. But in my heart, I also know that the thing that gets us through all the times is what we're talking about this morning. It's what gives us the ability to make it through every part of our life. So this is essential stuff that we're on. See, we've been talking about deeper roots in our life and in our life as a church, believing that God is cultivating us to go deeper with Him because He's preparing to go wider with us. And, you know, the things we've been talking about so far, it's not like things that we're not doing at all. These are things that we're doing. We've talked about hospitality and worship. And the area we're going to talk about today is something that most of us are doing. But isn't it great to know that we're on the right path, and yet God wants to encourage us to go even deeper in all these areas? And this is an area that I definitely believe that for us as well. This week, we're going to be talking about being deeply rooted in developing our faith, developing our whole belief, you know, and growing in that part, our relationship with Him. If you want to correlate that or connect that to our fivefold purpose that we use here, feast, fellowship, evangelism, adoration, servanthood, and teaching, it would connect most tightly to teaching, which really is discipleship. But it also would connect to the F, because we do that as community. It would connect to fellowship as well. So it goes in those two places. Friends, if we want to be cultivated for growth in our relationship with Jesus, then we need to be intentional, really intentional about developing our faith, developing our whole belief in all that we are in Christ. It's kind of like character. You're not just born with good character, are you? Good character is built, and it's built over a period of time. It's built through making right decisions and right choices throughout your life, and each time you do that, you build upon that character more and more. Sometimes other people have built into you good character. Your parents maybe, or other people in your life, mentors, help build into that character, but you don't just get it, you develop it. It takes being intentional to accomplish anything that's great in this life. If you want to be a great athlete, or a great musician, or a great artist, or great at anything, it doesn't just happen by accident. You may be born with certain gifts and talents, bent toward different things that make it more natural, easier for you than others. But if you want to be great in anything, we all know you have to be intentional to develop that. And it's the same with our faith. It's the same with our belief. We need to be developing it, be very intentional about it. The early church was devoted to developing their faith. And we read about that as the church is forming in Acts 2, verse 42. And I think there's a misprint, actually, on your outline. It says 4:42. It should be 2:42. But it says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Friends, it says they devoted themselves. They were very intentional about developing their faith. That's what we're focusing on today. And as we prepare to talk about developing our faith, let's just go to God and ask Him now to clear us and make us ready to hear what He wants us to hear about that. God, I am so grateful for those who have built faith into my life. I'm grateful for the steps that You've shown me to take to do that for myself. I'm grateful for the community of Christ that comes together. And I'm grateful for those one-on-one times I have with You. And as we talk about developing our faith, being intentional, going deeper in that, Lord, I believe that You want to challenge our hearts at some level. Maybe we've become too comfortable in a routine. Maybe we've gotten lazy. Maybe we've never even started this. Wherever we're at today, God, meet us there and take us deeper. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Here's what I want to suggest, friends. I want to suggest that there's a 1/4 rule to developing your faith. There are actually 4/4 and 4/4 of how we do that. Several years ago, I was serving on a ministry team in another church, and 4 of us on staff got away for a spiritual retreat, a day just to train and to focus. Our secretary at the church at that time lived out in the country, had a pond out in there, and it was just a nice setting, so we went to her place for the day. And she surprised us with having this big pumpkin pie, home-baked pumpkin pie there. And we did only what four guys would do. We quartered that sucker. We each took a quarter of the pie, and we devoured it. It was wonderful. I have pie this morning. It's not like her home-baked pie, I'm afraid to tell you, but it is pumpkin pie. It's also not as large. Hers was larger than this when we quartered it. But I want to suggest to you a fourth rule to our development, our faith. I'm going to quarter this pie for us today. And does anybody remember Ross Perot? Yes. Ross Perot ran for president. I wish I could do his accent, but I don't think I can. Do you remember what he did that was different when he was running than other politicians? Anybody remember what he did? He had infomercials. He had infomercials, and on those infomercials, do you remember what he showed? He showed graphs and pie charts. This is my pie chart for us today. It's kind of a bribing pie chart, but it's a pie chart. And, you know, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm not trying to get your vote. I'm not trying to manipulate you or anything like that, but I think if Ross Perot would have given out pie to all Americans, he might have become president. This is my pie chart, and I'm going to use this to suggest to you, and there are going to be some random folks out there, random victims, however you want to put that, who are going to get a slice of pie today. Here's what we're going to do. With each fourth of the pie, of the pie we're talking about, I'm going to give out a piece of pie. So we're on our first fourth of the pie. Some of you, if you look at your outlines in the top right corner, you have 1/4 written there. There's one person that has that. Who has 1/4 written on your... Everybody's grabbing for their bulletins. It's Wes didn't want to raise his hand. Wes, you're our first winner today. Yeah. You get a piece of pie, a quarter of the pie. You can either eat this right now in front of all of us, or you can save it for later. That is your choice. You can even share it with your wife if you must.
Okay.
Here's the first fourth of the pie, friends. The first fourth of the pie in developing our faith is Sunday morning worship. Sunday morning worship. You know, I've seen grave mistakes made on two ends of the spectrum when we talk about Sunday morning worship. The first mistake is when people rely solely on Sunday morning to develop their faith. Sunday morning it's definitely essential to our development. God made us for community. We're supposed to come together. It's a quarter of how we develop our faith. But if it's the only way that you're developing your faith, then you're missing out. It's only a quarter of that development. So, If you're only developing your faith in Sunday morning worship, guess what? You can't fully develop your relationship with Jesus the way that he wants it to be. It doesn't mean you don't have a relationship with Jesus. It doesn't mean that at all. But it means that you're missing out on 3/4 of the pie. If you went to a college class, think of it this way, a course in college, and you went, but you only went to class. You were there for all the lectures, but you didn't read any of your textbooks. I did that with some classes in college. I didn't say that, Brad. But you go to class and you didn't read any of your textbooks. You don't do any of your homework. You don't take any of your tests. What's going to happen? You may learn a lot about the topic, but you're not going to learn to really integrate it, to really put it into your life, and you're certainly not going to pass the class, are you? So I just lost my place on my page because I looked away. That was a mistake, wasn't it? So if your only avenue is this simply developing it through Sunday mornings, then you're going to miss out. Through the years, I've occasionally heard people say something like this. They'll say, "I'm just not getting fed on Sunday mornings." You ever hear anybody say that? "I'm not getting fed." You know, my first response when I want to say back to them is, "Okay, what are you doing the rest of the week?" Because Sunday morning it was only meant to develop a quarter of the pie. What are you doing for the other 3/4 to fill in your growth? You're not going to get full just on Sunday mornings. You weren't intended to. There are other parts of the pie, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But first, let's look at the other end of that spectrum, where I said we see grave mistakes made. The other end of the spectrum is when people say, "I don't need to go to church at all. Some people say, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I don't have to go to church. I can do that on my own. I can be maybe in a Sunday school class or a small group. I can develop my faith without being in the body of Christ, and I don't need that. Look, you can certainly grow in all those areas, but you're going to have at least a fourth of the pie that's not being developed because God meant us for community. The early church met in large worship settings, but then they also met in these smaller settings for support in their growth as well. Hebrews chapter 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. And day there has a capital D. Do you know why it has a capital D? It's because it's talking about the day, one day, when Christ is going to return. We know that's going to happen. Some say it's going to be sooner. Some say it's going to be later. I say we don't know when, but we do know with each day we're a day closer. So we need to be meeting together to encourage one another as that day is approaching. And if we don't do that, we're missing at least a fourth of the pie. Here's the second fourth of our pie. Who's got two fourths written on your bold message outline? Top right corner. Some over here. All right. You won a piece of pie. Awesome. And again, you can eat this here or you can take it home. It's your choice. There you are. You're welcome. The second fourth of the pie is this. It's faith development in our personal time through study and through prayer. At least a fourth of the development of your faith and mine is going to come from those alone times with God. Our relationship with God is one-on-one, very personal. It's in community, but it's also meant to be a personal relationship with Jesus. And you develop that. It requires personal time reading your Bible, studying your Bible, and prayer. We touched on that some last week. It requires that at least a fourth of your, for at least a fourth of your prayer development, for your faith development. Without it, at least a fourth of your faith development just won't happen. You may say, but Mark, you know, I'm interested. I want to connect with God through the Bible, but reading is just not my thing. I just can't read. I try, and I come up empty. It doesn't work well for me. Well, you know what? You live in a great day and age where you don't have to read it yourself. There are all kinds of resources for you. You can listen to the Bible being read. You can get it on CD and listen to it. You can do it online through internet resources like Bible Gateway. It has every version almost that you can read, and you can listen to it being read to you. Well done. Or you can do it with phone apps like YouVersion. I've talked about that before. You can download it on your phone. You can read it, or you can listen to it being read to you. You can also watch the Bible today through things like the visual Bible, where you can watch on DVD. They've done part of the Bible story where they go verbatim from the Bible and tell the story. And then there's the Bible series that was out a couple years ago. I think that you all focused on that a little bit here when it came out. That's another source. Now, you can see it on DVD. You can watch it on Netflix. And I'll just caution you, if you're using the Bible series, to also make sure you're looking at Scripture with that as well. Because it's not word for word the Bible. They've consolidated it. They've taken some liberty, editorial liberty, to make it more dramatic and to bring the story together, to put it in story form. And it's a great tool, but you do want to connect it to the Word of God, to Scripture itself. Others may say, well, you know, it's not the reading thing for me. It's the prayer thing for me that's hard. I mean, I hear other people pray, and I could never pray like that. You don't have to. You don't have to pray like anybody else. You just have to pray like you. And prayer is simply having a conversation with God. Just saying, God, here I am. This is the stuff that's going on in my life right now. God, this is where I am right now. This is where I need you. This is how I worship you. You just talk to him like you talk to a friend. And you know what? Everybody can do that. And if you get distracted, write out your prayers. I often do that. I'll write them in a journal because my mind's going everywhere. So I write to focus. There are lots of ways that you can do that. At least a fourth of your faith development depends on personal time and study and prayer with Jesus. We're ready for the third fourth. Who's got the third fourth? Eli. I told you wanted a bulletin. I might need proof. I need to see that you... Eli, you can eat this pie now or share it with your dad later. I see. All right. There you are. He said, I'll take it. Here's the third fourth of the pie for our faith development, and that is to develop our faith in groups. Okay, friends, here's the truth. When we're talking about these four fourths of the pie, some of them even have bigger impact than others, and I believe that growing in groups is one of those big impacts. I believe that it's the optimum place for us to grow spiritually. I've known many people who've grown more through small group experience than they have any other experience that they've had in their lives. They've told me that. The small group environment is necessary for a deeper level in community to help us to grow, and certainly for the support times of our lives. Acts chapter 5, verse 42 says, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house they met. House to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. They met in the large community settings in the temple courts, but then it says they met house to house in these small group meetings so they could be supportive and grow in their faith together. When we meet with others for the purpose of greater faith development, it allows us to do that together. And if we meet with 8 or 10 folks in a Bible study or some sort of study group or a ministry group where we're serving together, it helps bring support and care to one another, to pray for each other. And it has a huge impact on our faith development. I can tell you that for myself, small groups, both groups for learning and groups where I was serving with other people, has had a huge impact on my life. Let me quickly just take you down the pathway of my small group involvement in my life that's done that for me. I invited Jesus Christ into my life as my Savior and Lord at the age of 18, the summer after I graduated from high school. And right away, the youth pastor who led me to Christ plugged me into a new believer's small group, where we learned about the essentials of the faith and kind of the overall picture of the scripture of the Bible in that time. Not long after that, I was plugged into a ministry small group. I started serving on the youth ministry team with other adult leaders, and that time with them greatly, greatly impacted me. We served weekly together, and then we would meet monthly together for regular training and accountability and growing with one another. I also joined an adult Sunday school class that had a huge impact on my life while I was still in college. From there, I led a small group of young adults. Later, I led a morning prayer group. Another time, I led a small group of 15 middle school girls. That was the need. The youth pastor said, we have this big group of girls. I don't have anybody to lead them. I said, what the heck? We'll do it. So I took the 15-passenger van from the church. I picked them all up in the morning before school. We had breakfast at McDonald's, had a Bible study, and then I went and dropped them all off at their school. And to this day, it's probably one of the best youth small groups that I've ever been a part of. Through the years following my college days, I was part of, over the years, 3 or 4 different groups just for accountability, where I'm meeting with other guys who are helping to hold me accountable in my faith. When I served as a youth pastor at a church many years ago, the whole youth ministry, the hub of it, what it was built on, was having youth in different small groups together, where they were learning and growing together. When I served at Trinity Evangelical United Methodist Church in Upper Sandusky, I was brought there to start and to lead the small group ministry. And when I got there, there were 3 groups. Later, we had over 50 groups meeting in the church. Over the years, Caroline and I have led young adult groups. We've led married groups and other different groups. Right now, I'm leading a Wednesday night at 6 o'clock small group here at the church, and Thursday mornings at 6:45 a prayer group here at the church. These are only some of my experiences in small groups in my life, but I've always, almost from the day that I accepted Christ, been a part of a small group experience somewhere, be it Sunday school or meeting in somebody's house or someplace like that, and prayer groups, serving groups, somewhere where I was growing intentionally about with my faith. Friends, I share that with you to emphasize to you just how pivotal the involvement of small groups has been to my faith development. I'm absolutely certain, without a shadow of a doubt, if I had not been involved in those small groups over the year, I would not be standing in front of you in ministry today. I'm absolutely certain of it. It's been that pivotal to me. At least a fourth of your faith development comes from groups. They're the optimum place for you and me to grow spiritually. And we can't fully develop in our spiritual faith without them. You may say, but Mark, what are some small group options here in the church? How do I get plugged in? How does that happen for me? Well, friends, right now we want to help to find some good small group options for us to get them started and help you to do that. On Sunday, October 19th, we'll be starting a new message series. You saw it on the screen, called Multiply. And this is going to be a series based on a book by Francis Chan and David Platt, and they just do a great job talking about what it means to become and to build disciples of Jesus. That's our goal here, and they do a great job with that. The great thing about this book is that it's available to us online for absolutely free. You can go to their website at multiplymovement.com, click on materials, and you'll find the whole book there. You can download it and print it. You can read it on the computer online, any of those kind of things. It's available for you to use right there, the whole book. If you like a hard book, a book in hand, you can order the book there. You don't have to read it online. They even have a phone app. I downloaded it on my phone. I've been reading most of it all right on my phone. You can even listen to it being read to you. Francis Chan is reading it. You can click on it and listen to it being read to you. You have no excuse with this one, right? And they have video segments for each chapter that are a few minutes long with Francis Chan and David Platt, where they'll tell you more about the chapter. There are questions within the chapter to help lead you. It's really a wonderful tool. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to begin some small groups that are going to meet together for the six-week period that we're in that series. We're going to go through the first part of the book, not the whole book, while we're in small groups, and we're going to be having groups meeting that we're going to call right now Multiply Groups. One, because that's the name of the book, and two, because we're trying to multiply some groups in our church. We're going to include, we've included a sign-up on your bulletin. You'll see down on the bottom of the front side of that where you can put your name, contact information, and circle the best day for you. And then we're going to try to coordinate groups with where you've signed up, the days and kind of locations and that kind of stuff, and get some groups going for that period of time. So each week during that series, you'll hear a message on Multiply. Then you'll have the opportunity to read the correlating or listen to the correlating chapter on Multiply from the website or the book. And then you'll meet in a group that week to talk about it and to go deeper. Sounds like a good tool, doesn't it? We also have several small groups that already meet in our church. Some have been meeting for years. And I encourage those groups to join us in this, during that six-week period of time, to do the Multiply series with us and be a part of that as well. So does everybody here kind of understand what we're asking you to consider here? You can get started today by signing up your tear-off, putting it in the basket as you leave. There's baskets for collecting the love offering. Just stick it in those same baskets. You can go to www.multiply.com, movement.com, and begin to look through it right away if you want. And we'll get started together on October 19th. Okay, so for the fourth of the pie, who's got four-fourths? One more piece of pie. Oh, damn. And Dan's going to give it to his new bride, I can tell already. Right after he shares it with his pastor. I'm having problems with the lid. There we go. There you go, bro. All right. So here's the fourth piece of the pie, and that's to develop through serving. Through serving. You know, if you'll notice, as we've talked about these first three pieces of the pie, they've been all about intake. They've been all about us learning more, getting more information, growing. We do that on Sunday mornings. We do that on our own. We do that in small groups. We're taking in, taking in, taking in. And this part of the pie is about giving it out, about sending out, about serving. Friends, we can't fully develop our faith only by taking in. Do you know what that makes when we only take in? That makes fat Christians. I mean, we've just eaten 3/4 of a pie, for crying out loud. That makes you more well-rounded in a much different way. We don't want to be fat Christians who just sit around and take things in. We want to be a part of serving and giving those out. I have a great illustration that I saw one time that I'd like to share with you that helps me understand this by looking at this bucket of water and a sponge. When you have a sponge that's dry, this is mostly dry because I used it earlier in the morning, but a sponge that's dry, and you stick it down in the water, what's it going to do? It's going to soak up the water, right? And right now it's bubbling because it's taking it all in. If I let that soak and soak and soak until the sponge fills completely up, the bubbles stop, and I can pull it out, and you can see that it's full. I can stick that back in the water, but it's not going to soak in anymore because it's full, right? It can't take anything else in while that sponge is still filled with the water. I need to wring it out, to squeeze it out. It needs to empty out so that it can go back in the water and be filled again. That's how it is with our faith development. We have those first three pieces of the pie that fill us up, fill us up, fill us up. Eventually, you can't take in any more until you serve, until you go out into the world and start to give out what you're taking in. And then you're in the place again where you can go back in and soak more. That's what we're talking about here. So this fourth piece of the pie is essential to our intentional development. In James chapter 2, verses 14 to 17 say this. They say, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it?" In the same way, faith, you're developing faith, by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Is dead. So for our faith to be alive, it has to include this service portion of the pie. For now, let me say that finding your place, in the church in service is really important, but we're going to talk a lot more about that next week because we're going to talk about deeper roots in mission. So we're not going to talk a lot more about it, but I will just say that God's given you different gifts and talents, and we got to find a place, whether it's in the church or out of the church, in the name of Christ, because of Christ, to give it out, to serve. That's the part of the pie. We'll be more on that next week. Here's how I want to begin to conclude us this morning. One thing that makes every pie better, especially pumpkin pie, is what? Cool Whip whipped cream. I happen to have a can of whipped cream. And anybody that was patient with their pie and didn't eat it already, you're welcome to put whipped cream on it. Eli's went, yes. I'm not going to walk out to you with the whipped cream. You'll have to come get it after the service. But I'll put it right here, and you're welcome to put it on your pie as much as you want. Just share it with the others, and the rest of you can spray it in your mouth if there's any left at the end. Whipped cream. And here's what the whipped cream is going to illustrate for us today. You've got the four areas of development, but sometimes you want the whipped cream on the pie. You want it really good. Sometimes you have to set yourself apart to develop your faith. You need to do some intentional things to give a period of time in your life to it. Maybe going on a retreat weekend is an example. Maybe being on a mission trip is an example. Some sort of training time is an example. Maybe taking a class that's offered by the church, or even in a Bible college or a seminary, something where you're saying, I'm going to be really intentional and give this period of my time and my life to developing my faith. That's the whipped cream on the pie. That makes it even fuller and tastes even better. It brings you places where you aren't going to go just in those regular four steps. We have a wonderful example of that in our church this morning. Jenna Fusco went away on a trip this last summer. If you don't know Jenna, Jenna came to us through Heidelberg, and now she's coming to us through Bowling Green. She's there getting her master's, and she still drives and joins us on Sunday mornings. And over the summer, she went away on a trip through Athletes in Action. It's a division of CRU, Campus Crusade for Christ. Many of you supported her financially and in prayers. She sat down with Caroline and I a few weeks ago to tell us about her experience, her trip, and I realized she was doing all four of these things that we're talking about. She was in the community worship setting. She was in personal, on her own, developing her faith. She was doing it in small groups, and she was serving. And all of those things, being away for a period of time, the whipped cream on the pie, really helped to take her places where she wouldn't be today without it. She shared with us, and then she sat down and shared with Mike on video. I want you to check out the video they put together about her experience.
I'm Jenna Fusco, and this summer I had the awesome opportunity to do an eight-week-long internship with Athletes in Action in Xenia, Ohio. This internship was more than just an internship. We were able to grow spiritually and a bunch of different settings with Bible studies and discipleship. We also did some outreaches and ministry events, so it was a great opportunity to just grow deeper in my faith. There were 19 students that came from all over the world, and we just came together as strangers and ended up being family by the time we left. I was there working 35 hours a week during my internship, but alongside with that, we were able to get deeper in our faith. Athletes in Action is a CRU ministry that is specific for athletes. Its mission is to reach every team, every sport, and every nation. And they do this by sharing the Athletes in Action principles, which relate the gospel to sports. Five Athletes in Action principles use biblical stories to teach different biblical truths, such as idolatry, motivation, pain, and just how to teach the gospel to students who don't really know Jesus. On the sixth week, we were given the opportunity to participate in something called The Special. The Special is spiritual principles plus exhaustion equals confidence in Almighty Lord. This is a 24-hour sports competition where we just competed in sports constantly with barely any breaks. We only slept for 2 hours. And the purpose of this was to just bring us to our breaking point so that we would have to rely on Jesus. I didn't participate as an athlete. I participated as an athletic training intern, and I believe that I got the same experience as those students who actually participated in the sporting events. So during this time, they played games like volleyball. They did an entire track meet. They did swimming relays. They played alternate frisbee. They did some CrossFit challenges, and they just did a bunch of things that were just mind-blowing and you wouldn't think would be possible. And to end it all, they did Golgotha, which was they ran down a hill carrying a board and then had to run back up with the board across their shoulders, like Jesus going up the hill of Golgotha on the cross. Even though I didn't compete as an athlete, I still experienced life-changing moments of The Special. Everything was great until we got to the pool. When Allie cramped up while she was swimming, God entered into The Special. Hearing cries of pain and agony left my heart feeling so heavy and overwhelmed. But God entered me and also Andrew, and we were able to pull her out of the pool so fluently, all by his strength. After Allie cramped up, all athletes began to cramp. The endless 200s were a competition that just brought me to my knees. It felt so painful to see my friends suffering and in so much pain. When one of my friends was doing this, I could see in her face that she had nothing left to give. So I went over to her and began to pray for her for God's strength to take over. The athletes began to fall apart in this moment. The pain was evident. People were weeping and crying in pain. When the CrossFit challenge began, people hit their breaking point. One of my friends was yelling, "I can't do it," and it broke my heart. He had nothing left to give. In this moment, I began to realize that I was given a glimpse of Jesus' suffering that led to the cross. He willingly gave up his body to be bruised, beaten, and broken. He cried out to the Father and he asked for a way out, but he did the will of God. His suffering became real to me, and I can't even imagine Jesus' suffering, and that was the suffering that we deserve. But by God's love and grace, my debt has been paid by the suffering of his Son. And knowing the hurt I felt just watching my friends made me think about Mary, how painful it must have been to see Jesus die a criminal's death, hearing his cries and seeing his bloodshed. The love and compassion I felt must have been even more for her. Her heart must have been in so much pain, but she never turned away. Ending with Golgotha was the best way to end the special. As each athlete ran down the hill, I could see them nearing the end. As they went back up with the cross on their shoulders, it was obvious that they were worshiping. When one of my friends went past me, I could see that he had nothing left. I walked towards him and encouraged him, gave him some water, and said, "You and I are alive today because of him." And at that moment, it was as if he was renewed and given strength. He ran the rest of the way. After the last person passed me, I felt so overjoyed and a smile erupted on my face. And all I could think of was, "Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead." X-Project was a life-changing summer for me. It was filled with such joy, laughter, tears, hurt, frustration, love, and so many more emotions. But through it all, God was here. God was present in the people, events, situations, conversations, lessons, vent sessions, and sporting events. I have never been so aware of God's presence. I've never felt God in all these things like I did this summer. God used this summer to prune me. He revealed my dead branches to me, but then cut them away so that I could bear more fruit. This summer, God revealed to me who He is, good, loving, and sovereign. Who I am, worthy, accepted, His beloved, and His daughter. And that His hands are on all things, and it all comes from a place of amazing love. As the Left X Project for the summer, I remember that it's my job not to forget what I learned here and apply it to life. God used this summer to equip me for what's next. God called me to Xenia, and then He said go. He called me to be the light to my campus, my work, and the people around me. I'm to bring glory to His name, and I know I will be back at Athletes in Action in the future.
All right, Jenna's right here. I want to ask you a question, Jenna. How long was that experience?
We were there for 8 weeks.
8 weeks. Have you ever had an eight-week period of your time that has had more impact on you spiritually than those 8 weeks? She's shaking her head no. Sometimes the whipped cream on the pie is to say, I want to take an intentional time away or to do something to really develop. And not all of us get that opportunity. But sometimes when you have an opportunity like that and you take that, it's going to put you in a whole different level of your relationship with Christ that's going to impact you forever. Sometimes it's a walk to Emmaus weekend. It's a weekend of time or something like that. Sometimes it may be a course or a class. Sometimes you get the chance to really go away and only focus on that, and it makes it really real for you. So friends, as we talk about this morning, just kind of wrap up, we have those four essential things that make us well-rounded in our relationship with Christ as we develop our faith, by our time we spend together in community and worship, by our one-on-one time with God, by that small group experience, and by finding ways to give it out to serve. And the whipped cream on the pie makes it all the better. Some of us may find that the way that our faith development really looks like is we're pushed back away from the table. And we sit there waiting for God to throw out the scraps. And when we get a scrap, we grow a little bit. And when we get another scrap, we grow a little bit. It's kind of like being the house dog, you know? Just waiting for the scrap. And we've intentionally done that. We've pushed ourselves away. And what we need to do is say, I'm going to pull up to the feast. I want to pull up to the table that's all laid out there before me, not just with the pie, but everything else, all the parts of what God's calling me to be. And I'm going to become intentional about this because I want to go deeper. Let's pray together. God, try to have a little fun today with a subject that is really important. And I just pray that we would take it to heart. What are those extra measures we need to be going to go deeper in our development of our faith? Maybe we've never started any consistent time in a quiet time with you and reading our Bibles and prayer, and we need to get a good devotional. We need to start there. Maybe we need to fill out this thing on the bottom of the bulletins to be in a multiply group, to get into a small group to begin to develop there. Maybe we're here today, but regular time in worship isn't really a part of our life. We just pop in and out. And right now you're saying to us that we need that part of our routine to be every week, to be regular, to develop. Maybe we just know God is pushing and pushing on us to start to serve some way. We've been gifted. We have a burning to do it. We're just trying to figure out how. And that's the next step to the pie for us. Or maybe we're ready for the whipped cream and God's calling us away to something. Help us to go deeper. Make us willing to surrender to you to do that. And Lord, we just thank you for what you'll do in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jennifer, for blessing us both now and at 8:30 this morning. You can bless her with appreciation. And there are baskets at the door if you'd like to give to her ministry as she continues to serve God in this way. And also remember to sign up for those groups if you want to be in, and drop those in the same baskets. We'll begin to correlate the groups and get them ready. So let's go with Christ and let's go deeper.